Thanks for listening to CarCast on Podcast One.
Well, in this episode of CarCast, we get into some Ferrari LM prices, interesting, and we also tour the Collier Museum. Beautiful cars. I was just there in Collier County or Naples, Florida. We'll get into that. We'll talk a little about the new Volvo XC60.
XC60 Recharge.
Good. First, you got...
Yeah, just a word from our friends at Dodge. You know, Dodge was ranked number one for initial quality and best driver appeal for mass market brands by J.D. Power. It's the first U.S. brand ever to be ranked number one in initial quality and appeal in the same year. So visit Dodge.com for more information.
Yeah, we talk hoops on Robert Horry's new podcast, The Big Shot Bob Pod.
I would have loved to play with LeBron because if you get down, get open, get to where you're supposed to be, he's going to find you. Feel like he got robbed for MVP.
But with Robert Horry, we cover the floor and we talk about everything. And so your youngest is a teenager.
So he's not going to high school right now. He's doing everything via Zoom. And his dad, can you help me? Nope, I'm running away. Run.
From the team that brought you the big podcast with Shaq, it's The Big Shot Bob Pod. Coming your way soon on the Podcast One app, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, livebylive.com, and everywhere you get your favorite podcasts.
Yeah, get it on. Got to get it on. Joyce is going to manage to get it on. Hot her down a little, Rhino. Yeah. It's all right. Grown pains. Raking in a new engineer, Ryan. Yeah. I'm Adam Carolla. This CarCast, that's Matt the Motorator, DeAndrea over there.
How you doing?
I'm doing well, man.
How was Florida?
Florida was good. ate indoors, stand up, went to the beach, got a mani-pedi, ate again indoors. A lot of indoor eating over there.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're crazy. They have some kind of death wish or something. Or they don't have a retarded governor. I can't figure it. It's one or the other. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's good.
Yeah. It should just read Florida, where people get to make their own decisions. That's what it should read.
The shows where everybody showed up? Like, what's the rules in Florida? Is it like Texas? Is it half the people? Half the seats? Or
the place was full. But they try to move the seats around and spread it out a little bit. But it was full. It was full. I mean, it's fine with me.
Everybody wears a mask, except for you on stage. You get to spit on everybody.
Nobody wears a mask.
Okay.
No masks ever. Not one mask. I stood on stage, and I have a vantage point where I can see every single person in that place, because that's how those clubs are set up. If you stand on stage, peruse, it's not the word I'm looking for, but you can surveil the entire room.
Yeah.
Not a mask. No mask. So so get the body bags. That's what I'm saying.
It's and dangerous. Then that's why everybody's here masked up now.
We went out for dinner and had ourselves a good meal. It was good. I went to the Collier collection, and it was a weird thing. So I'd always heard about the Collier collection. Yeah. And the Collier collection is spectacular. And we got a private tour of the Collier collection, a couple of us, and club owner and his girlfriend, you know, there's about six, seven of us. And the gentleman who knew everything about the Collier collection in detail just kind of walked us from room to room in display, from display to display. When you walked in, the first thing you saw was a 250 LM Ferrari. And I always bring those cars up because they were kind of the funky Ferrari. They were, you know, mid-engine. I think the first mid-engine Ferrari, their V8 Ferrari. I think the problem was is everyone was kind of looking at the GTOs with the front engine and the V12, you know. And they were like... yeah, this is a cute little baby brother Ferrari. It also has a style that I like.
But the GTO is better looking.
Yeah, and it's not. It just doesn't really drip Ferrari, you know. Because Ferrari was always front engine, V12, long hood, you know, kind of GT, grand touring kind of thing. And the 250 LMs look a little bit squatty. And, and again, they had the V8, and it was weird to have a V8 and a Ferrari. And back in the day, and when I say back in the day, I mean 8 years ago.
Yeah, you say V8. This spec here says 12.
Oh, I'm sorry. It is a V12.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. It's funny. I started thinking about it as I was saying it.
But 3.3?
Yeah, it's a small displacement V12, but it's a V12. I'm sorry, everybody. I should have known that. Or maybe I did know it and I just had a brain fart. But the point is they're interesting pieces, but they were considered kind of cute or quirky or something. And I used to see these things. I think Max Zapata, I think there was one of these 250s that went at Gooding. Gooding would be the one down at Pebble Beach, right?
Gooding, yes.
Yeah. Not at the lodge, or not inboard, you know, not in the bay, but down at the next to the concourse,
yes.
Up the hill.
Yes, and 'cause RM's usually at the hotel.
Yeah, I think that Gooding had one of these things, feel like 8-9 years ago. And like the estimates were like 5 to 6.5 or something like that.
Right.
And I was like, it kind of seems like a deal, depending on the history. You know, the history is going to change the value quite a bit. But these cars were reasonable, not, you know. And a lot of people listen going, you know, $5 million, that reasonable? Well, it is when you're kind of comparing it to GTOs at the time. And GTOs at the time were, you know, 30, 40, you know, and these things were six. And I remember just kind of looking at it going, I think that's kind of a bargain for this, for this Ferrari. And they have great race history. Remember, the most expensive Ferrari in the world is not a GTO. It's a 250 or a 330, same car, basically, GT, because I think it was the last factory Ferrari to win 24 Hours of Le Mans. It was the last factory one to win outright, I think. And that car's, you know, 100 million plus or whatever. I think Bruce Canepa was telling. So it is, in fact, the most expensive car in the world, most likely is one of those 250s LMs or 350 LMs. But anyway, I'm kind of looking at going, it's like a price at $6 million. Not too bad.
Back then,
They're, you know, 30 to 65 now.
But a good buy.
Yeah. I mean, it kind of depends on, it's all about the history. But I was looking at the 250 at the Collier collection, and I was like, Didn't have Le Mans history. Didn't win Le Mans, but it won like the Targa Florio and some hill climbs and stuff like that. And I was like, $40 million? And the guy's like, yeah, it's about right.
Okay.
Yeah. So again, I don't know about this. I think it was a yellow one, Max Zapata. And I'm pretty sure it was Gooding. I'm positive it was Gooding. And it was yellow. And it was somewhere between 6 and 8 years ago or 6 and 9 years ago. But either way, and I don't remember what it hammered for. I wasn't really paying attention back then. But it the estimate was like 6, 6.5 or somewhere in that range. And turns out if you bought the 250, you know, 10 years ago, you made a nice decision. Because if you bought a 250 10 years ago, you most likely paid about 5 for it. And it's probably 25 now, so you did okay.
And how big is that Collier collection? Like, how big is the facility? How many cars are in there? Just to get an idea of what a collection like that looks like.
I think that the gentleman said like 80,000 square foot. And that may have included some other facilities. They have a nice resto shop in there. They have different rooms. The Porsche room was the first one we went into. Lots of 550 Spiders, and then weird variants of the 550 Spider as well. All beautiful.
You have listed here the John Morton Scarab.
Yeah, there's some interesting stuff. They had a Briggs Cunningham room, which is, he's an interesting character we don't really talk about, but Briggs Cunningham built some custom cars. He was kind of trying to do what Shelby did before Shelby. He was doing it with Cadillac power plants. And we're looking at the Briggs Cunningham. So if he's trying to build like a street car, sports car. He was trying to build a car that win Le Mans. He's, I don't know, the best he did was third in Le Mans or something like that. He later on just kind of hooked up with Jag and tried to throw his fortunes with Jag. A lot of interesting stuff. Saw the Scarab, and that is the Lance Reventlow company, and that guy basically sold his Venice shop to Shelby. He, Lance Reventlow, was building his own custom car. It was a nice effort, and it looked good, and it performed well. But I think it broke a lot.
Yeah,
and he just got frustrated, and like said, I'm out. And then Shelby came in, used a lot of his same guys, I think. And then became Carroll Shelby. And then Reventlow died in like 71 or 72 in like a small plane crash or something, like looking at land outside of Colorado or in Colorado or something like that.
The Scarab's a cool looking car.
It's a cool piece. It's got a great scheme. It's got some really nice stuff going on. And I looked at the Scarab and I said, oh, this, they all have the, I think they all have the same paint scheme. I said, geez, I was down at Laguna Seca doing the Rolex Historics some years back, and one of these rolled. And the guy was like, that's this car. Hmm. And I said, oh. And then I went over to, oh, God, I always forget the.
Was it Joey Cavallari?
Joey Cavallari.
Yeah, we were there, and he was restoring it.
He was restoring it, and I think he was, as I recall, either taking delivery or just took delivery of one of the only other Scarabs that was sort of intact, survivor that he could kind of pull, make bucks off of and pull measurements off of and that kind of stuff. So that was a pretty interesting experience. Lots of everything, you know, old cars, new cars, lots of race cars, some GT40s, a Birdcage, Maserati, just lots of interesting, funky kind of stuff.
It looks like a pretty good mix of cars. As much as you've spoken so highly of the Shelby Museum in Colorado, this is more of a mix of cars, certainly, than what that is. Which is interesting because Bobby Rahal just posted recently that he was at the Shelby Museum sitting in, you know, I don't know, 427 Cobra and firing it up and giving props about that museum, saying how fantastic it is. But this place looks cool.
Lots of great stuff. The thing about the Shelby Museum is you have to be a race fan because everything, just about everything, has race history, significant race history. And the thing about the Shelby Museum, which we've been to a couple times, the footprint of that place is, say, 8,000 square foot. It's not a big building. It has the most expensive, interesting cars packed into the smallest footprint. But that's a cool stop. And they fire stuff up all the time, and they'll give you the full.
It seems like that. It seems like they have some fun with the cars. And speaking of Shelby, while you were out traveling, Mecum was going on, and Carroll Shelby's 427, the car that Legendary Motor Cars restored.
Oh, yeah.
Peter Clute did a full restoration
in Canada.
On it. And
yeah, they do nice work.
And that car sold, I think the hammer was 5.4. I think it was $5.95 million all in.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, anything Shelby, especially after that Ford V for Ferrari.
Yeah. I'm curious to know, to sort of follow the trail, like, when did Peter acquire it? When did he restore it? What did he pay for it? I mean, I get he's in a business. He's pretty smart about that thing. So safe to say he's definitely made money on this deal, as he should. But I am a little curious. Did he pick it up before, you know, Ford v. Ferrari and some of the recent hoopla around Shelby? Did he pick it up for, you know, I don't know, whatever, $3 million, $4 million. You know, that he...
I have some vague recollection from watching the show that Dream Car Garage, I think, is the show. Or maybe that's his old show. Either way.
Legendary Motor Car?
Legendary Motor Car.
Wait, that's the shop. Is that the name of the show,
too? I think the name of the show.
He's got a new YouTube show, too, by the way.
Yeah, I like that guy. I love his passion. He's a racer. I want to go to Spa with him in Belgium and do a race. Last year, we were talking about, we're kind of in preliminary discussions. Got a little, even past preliminary, of going with him. Getting a ride and doing Spa, which I was excited about, and then the whole COVID thing. Well, actually, then what happened was I think there was a professional Trans Am race at Laguna Seca that was that weekend, or that same weekend as Spa. So then I was like, I could save myself a lot of money and stay here and go to Laguna Seca, a track I know. So then we thought, well, we'll do the Trans Am race, and then the whole COVID thing kicked in, and
now it's a
shit show. Right. So, the thing about the Collier collection that was weird is I just sort of heard about it peripherally for a long time. And when we were driving in to Naples, we kept saying, like, you've now entered Collier County and stuff like that. And I was saying to Mike, I thought we were in Naples. And like, no, it's Collier County or something. And I was like, then the museum is just named Collier because it's in Collier County.
Yeah.
You know, like if there was a Modesto museum in Modesto, you know. And I kept saying, I thought Collier was like the guy's name or something.
It probably is the guy's name and the county's named after.
And we're like driving in and it's like Hezekiah Collier, the grandfather.
Yeah.
He bought 1 million acres in Florida, you know, in 1912 or something. And he was the biggest landowner in Florida with 1 million acres in this county. And so it is true that Collier is the county, and Collier is also the name of the super rich family.
I'd be curious to know what he did to come up with that kind of money back then.
Yeah, I think we talked about it a little bit. You know, grew up poor, you know, ninth grade education, like went to work with the railroads or something. And then I think he started getting into real estate, and I can't quite recall what his business was, but that's the Collier collection. So we got more news here. And chemical guys, if you want your car to look great, you have a passion for shine, you need to check out Chemical Guys. Soaps, waxes, polishes, detailing sprays, leather conditioners, clay bars, tire cleaners, etc. These guys make top shelf products, but the big difference is they stand behind them and they want you to use them correctly. So there's a lot of online tutorials, and they have, what else do they have, Matt? They have places you can go, detail garage locations.
Where they can teach you, or they can do it, or both, which is fantastic. And their videos are really good.
Right. So you don't want to just buy a random orbital buffer and then some rubbing compound and destroy your car. You want to use it correctly. They just launched a new cleaning disinfectants. Hyperban and Hypershield both kill 99.9% of germs and bacteria. So Chemical Guys help you find the passion to make it shine. Visit chemicalguys.com/carcast. Use the code CARCAST for 20% off your first order. Maxipata, Gooding. Anything with a 250?
I'm not seeing it, but I'm still looking.
How does that stuff work? You know what? I got to tell you, Maxipata, these auction like search engines, and you tell me, Matt, if this is what happens to you. You go to like 2013, and then you just go to the top and you type in Ferrari 250 LM, and it says zero results. But it's like you still have to scroll that auction to find it. I don't know what their zero results thing. Like, it would be nice if you just went to, I don't know who does a good job, like Bring a Trailer. You know what I mean? If you just went to Gooding, you went to their webpage, you hit results, and you just put 250 LM Ferrari, and the six that they've sold in the history of that company would just pop up. But it doesn't work
it doesn't.
That way.
Although,
why not?
The version of that that also does work pretty well is the Hammer Price app. You go and you can search by car and you type in Ferrari 250 and it should bring up as many 250s as they know about.
Why is it that you do that, it'll say zero results, and then you'll have to scroll through each year, and then eventually you'll find one from 2011?
Yeah, I don't know. Search engines can be complicated, having been in that industry a million years ago. Mm-hmm. Search engines are very, very complicated, and most people use an app, and then you have to plug in all of the information. So maybe they're just not getting the information.
Yeah, so
right?
I think
it's not indexing the information.
All the kids around here just type in the thing into the search engine, yeah. And then nothing comes up. Well, and then they go, it doesn't exist. And then I go, I was there, and I looked at the yeah. car in 2013. What do you mean it wasn't there?
Most of the time you'll find that just Googling of different variations is better than going to somebody's individual site and using their own search. Because
okay.
Google is so much more powerful, and there's hundreds and hundreds of people working on that search engine.
All right. We're talking about the Stratos.
So the Stratos auction has a couple of BMWs listed. And the one that caught my attention is – let me – just trying to bring
it up.
Yeah, there's
a Batmobile.
There's a Group 5.
A
Sebring winning 74 3.5 CSL Batmobile,
right.
Which is kind of interesting. They also have another one, what they're calling a continuation car, but in the black, you know, an M stripes livery that your car was in. And this. Let's get some details on it. This car looks pretty good. So this car is located in it's in San Francisco. I'm trying to see if they have – what do they have for like – oh, so the auction begins on the 22nd.
Mm-hmm.
So what is that? Like as you're listening to this, it's coming up. So I don't have the estimate on it yet, but I think it's going to get – it gets posted. But Big story on the car, chassis 987, seems to have quite a bit of history.
We're talking about the Sebring car.
The Sebring car, yeah.
Yeah, it's beautiful. I love those cars. I think those cars are valuable. I would say the estimate would be above $1 million. Not that we're going to get an estimate. I don't mm-hmm. think they give estimates on that auction site. And I just wonder if you're selling that car, why you're bringing it there. I just don't feel like...
Well, these guys have been getting more and more interesting cars recently. I think they're still getting the attention of people. I don't know how many are being sold, you know, at the reserve
one
price.
One VW Bug is sold. That's how it works. But
yeah,
yes, they're getting some cool cars. And I'm not trying to be a hater here. You know, you got to start somewhere, growing pains. You have to establish yourself. They're getting good cars. I agree. I don't feel like they're getting the bidders or the buyers. But, you know, they're 10 minutes old, so
yeah.
Give them a chance.
That's the thing is they're getting more attention. You said a Group 5 car. Yes, but it was a homologated Group 2 car in 73. And then let's see, they did the Group 5, I think, in 70.
Well, it's a car that's a substantial car. I love those cars.
76, I believe.
And did it win Sebring as a Group 5 or Group 2 car? But either way, I just feel like you got to – I know these guys don't want to go to Bring a Trailer with cars like that, but I think they get all the money at Bring a Trailer.
Well, Bring a Trailer certainly has a lot of attention and has been around for a while. So these guys are trying to do something a little different, somewhere in between a Bring a Trailer and an RM or Gooding.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but look, Gooding right now has been doing very well with their geared online auctions, their online only auctions, and mm-hmm. which right now would typically be the Arizona Auction Week, Scottsdale Auction Week, and Gooding would be happening. Now Barrett-Jackson has postponed their event because they still want to do a live event, so they're going to postpone that until March.
Mm-hmm.
I want to say somewhere around the 23rd or the week of the 23rd, but Gooding's auction is happening online as scheduled. They're geared online event. So
sorry, I had a thought. Max Pata.
Yeah.
that 250 LM could be a 330 LM because they look exactly the same. I think they started with a 250 and then they went to a 330.
Oh, right.
And okay. You can't tell the difference by looking at them. At least I can't, but...
And although I don't really know the price difference between the 250 and the 330, where it kind of pans out. I mean, we talked about the 250 being the most expensive car at this point, arguably, whatever, $100 million.
Oh, by the way, the 250 could being the most expensive car could be a 330 being the most expensive car because they're the same body.
Yeah.
You can't – I don't know.
And I don't remember what Bruce's story was, but I remember being there when he was talking about it.
All right, let me hit Geico. Do you own, do you rent your home? Well, you do one or the other. You want to make it easy to bundle? Good. Geico makes it easy. You can bundle your renter's or homeowner's insurance along with your auto policy. It's a good thing, too, because you're busy and you got stuff to do, people to meet. So just go to geico.com, get a quote, see just how much you could be saving because Geico makes it easy. Again, go to geico.com. And see just how much you could be saving at geico.com. Maybe the 330 will help, Max Zapata.
All right, I'm looking.
But maybe Google it. I don't trust those goddamn search engines.
I've been doing everything. I've been Googling search engines, everything.
I don't know how the internet works.
I don't know. I mean, I guess we could check like Hammer Price to see if they've got some stuff
yeah, check,
there.
Check Hammer Price. And... yeah, it was interesting seeing that John Morton rolled car over there. It's kind of funny, too. A lot of the Collier Collection cars were cars that they always pit with Kenepa, right? And I would pit or paddock with Kenepa. And so some of these cars are like right next to my car. So then I'd be in the trailer getting changed and Gunnar Jeanette would be in there. And so mm-hmm. they were doing a lot of like, oh, this car was driven at Laguna Seca by Gunnar Jeanette. And I was like, oh, I know Gunnar Jeanette. That guy's so fast. He's such a nice guy. And he was driving this little crazy Alpha Z, you know, whatever. They had some cool Alphas, interesting Alphas in there as well. So yeah. Between Gunnar Jeanette and John Morton driving their cars. I was like, oh, I know those guys. I see them at Laguna Seca all the time. They also had the, I'm going to say, 63 Corvette Grand Sport, you know, the ones with the big flares and everything. They had that car, and that was the car that Stanford hooked up all the telemetry stuff to. Do you remember that?
I remember that.
I'll put all the sensors and antennas and everything on it.
Yeah.
Because they were trying to do a test and get some data.
So, yeah, I got a couple of answers. I've got two Ferrari 250 LMs that sold in 2015. One was in Scottsdale for $9.625 million, and one was in Monterey at RM Sotheby's for $17.6 million, both in 2015.
So that's just the difference between history.
That's, yeah.
But I'm still telling you, 2015, the one that sold for, let's say, $9.5 million, mm-hmm. that car at $9.5 million is $28 million today. I mean, somebody bought that car right.
So let me look at the 330.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to ask you about driving the Volvo XC60, which you were telling me off the air you really liked. And I'd been telling you for some years now, like, I like what Volvo's doing. And by the way, you know, everyone should have a short memory with car companies because two of the SUVs I like the most are the Lincoln and Volvo. And those were two that I probably would have liked the least 7 years ago.
Yeah.
You know? So they're doing, their styling is good now. Their interiors are good. Tell me about that car.
So the XC60 is the middle of their SUV lineup. They have the XC90, a little larger, XC40. The XC60, I've been saying this for a little while now, that this sort of mid-sized SUV is kind of the perfect city commuter. It's, again, to give you a little bit of reference, it's probably the size of a Porsche Macan or Audi, Q5. It's that size where, it's, you don't put people in the back seat all the time, although you comfortably could, and there's enough half hatch area without getting too big. So Volvo, as you know, has been moving more toward basically eliminating combustion engine only. Everything will be EV or hybrid.
Mm-hmm.
So this XC60 is called the XC60 Recharge, and it is a plug-in hybrid. It has a 2-liter supercharged and turbocharged 4-cylinder engine in front-wheel drive mode, and then it has an electric motor for the rear for an all-wheel drive scenario. I want to say that motor is 80-something horsepower, but the combined horsepower is 400 horsepower. Now, in pure EV mode, you can go 19 miles, okay? If you just said, hey, I'm going to drive from here to the house and back or whatever, back to the office or whatever, you do 19 miles in all-electric mode. But in its hybrid mode, it ends up getting pretty good fuel mileage. I want to say 27, 29 in hybrid mode. But also because of that combination, it carries 18 gallons of fuel, and you can get 500 miles per tank per, with the charge, with the range, right? So, and you can plug it in at night. You can, if you just plug it into the, to the normal outlet, it'll charge overnight. But if you use the 240, it's just a few hours and you can get most of it. I think it's 4.5 hours or something like that. It gets a full charge. It's not a huge battery, but it's enough to kind of make the difference. And also, the system does kind of charge on its own. What's interesting is, I've driven a few of these Volvos that have a hybrid technology, and on the touchscreen, that gives you a few options. You can just leave it in hybrid mode and let it do what it needs to do.
Mm-hmm.
You can put it in EV mode, and it'll use EV up that battery up as much as it needs to. But still, if you slam the throttle to pass somebody on the freeway, it's still going to kick in that engine.
Uh-huh.
But as you're driving it, if you want, you can flick it into charge mode. So the engine will charge the battery while you're doing it. You can get yourself a charge, and you can go back to hybrid mode or something like that. So it is kind of interesting. And yes, to your point, I think the styling of the Volvos are definitely on point right now. They're absolutely gorgeous. And they've got this style to work with the smaller SUVs and the larger SUVs and their sedans as well. And the interior is beautiful. I think the interior is fantastic, and it's kind of the right balance. Like this one has, like a beige, like almost a white interior, and it's got a 2-tone steering wheel, and it's got a kind of a washed out, bleached, kind of textured wood, and it has the great sound system in it. It's got heated and cooled seats and heated steering wheel.
What's the base price?
So I believe it starts at around 53,000. I think 53,000, and you get it up into the 70s. And there's a couple different variations of it, right? There's the T8 all-wheel drive. There's the base model. There's an R model. It's a black trim, things like that. But
supercharged and turbocharged.
Yeah, they've been doing this compound boost for a while now in some of their engines.
I got to get that Lincoln because my Z car can't plug your phone into it and talk.
Yeah, it's a little antiquated and it's a little bit stripped down. That car specifically wasn't meant to be a lot of frills.
No, not frilly.
I don't mean the 370. I just mean that specific anniversary edition was meant to be one of those cars that's not a lot of frills. So just use your earbuds for a minute or two.
I do, but it's not a daily driver.
I am with you though. We took another look at the Lincoln Aviator Black Label, and those come in. The Black Label is the pinnacle of their of their feature set. And when you're buying the car and the leasing the car, it comes with sort of this white glove service as well. If you want to buy the car, or whatever, they'll come to you and they'll give you a, you know, open up the book of swatches of colors and leathers, and you can pick what you want, and they'll deliver it to you. And when service needs to be done, they'll come to you and pick it up. And they're kind of stepping up their game on the hospitality level, the service level.
Mm-hmm.
And then you start to think about it. You go, you know what? A fully loaded Lincoln Aviator is fantastic. And they're like 85. You know, for all the bits, you could certainly mm-hmm. probably get in the door at around 60, but you get it up to 85. And that's a great one as well. But I tell you, in this range, this, you know, low 50s to low 70s range, Volvo is definitely something people should be taking a look at.
Agreed. All right, when do your business?
Yeah, so I'm going to hit up Dodge, because if you don't want the Volvo or the Lincoln SUV, Dodge has officially opened orders on the new 2021 Durango SRT Hellcat. Nice. This is the most powerful SUV ever. Exclusive for 2021. It features a 710 horsepower new aggressive styling, new interior. It has a driver-centric cockpit. I've seen these. I'm eager to get into one of these things. This thing is a three-row passenger SUV that does 0 to 60 in 3.5 seconds. And does 1150s in the quarter mile.
Wow.
Well, all buyers will receive a full day of pro instruction at the Bondurant High Performance School of Driving. Deliveries begin early this year. Believe me, you're going to want to go to that school when you get one of these things. When Dodge has been ranked number one for initial quality and best driver appeal for mass market brands by J.D. Power, it's the first brand ever to be ranked number one in initial quality and appeal in the same year. So see your local Dodge dealer today or visit Dodge.com to schedule your test drive.
Anything, Max Zapata?
I'll show you all the ones I found and let me know if any of these seem familiar.
Well.
Okay.
RM had one.
This is RM in 2014.
In 14, okay.
How much that sell for?
11.5.
11.5. It's probably got some good history there.
There's the yellow.
Did not sell.
Oh, well, why are you showing us that car, though?
Well, just because you said it was yellow, so now I'm just looking for...
Yeah, but you're showing us a different car.
Okay, then we'll skip that one.
We should skip the cars that aren't the car.
Okay, just making sure that...
You don't have to make
sure. Well, there
sure.
You go.
That's the car.
This one wasn't for sale. This was just on display at Pebble Beach in 2010.
Yeah, they're pretty.
It kind of looks like a frog.
Yeah.
It's kind of
cool looking.
Yeah, this one with the chrome trim is a little weird.
And this is a 330.
Yeah, but Max Pata, this is not the... You're showing us a GTO.
It's here's the thing.
It's got to be the same car. It's got to be that.
Okay.
Yeah, it gets a little confusing. You need that frog looking car, because even on Hammer Price, when I typed in 250, Ferrari 250, it gave me all the street cars as well. You know, right? It gave me It gave me the Bueller car.
It's got to look like the car at the Collier collection.
I understand. I just. If I'm just trying to jog your memory,
you can't jog my memory with different cars. It has to be the same. It has to be the same mid. It has to be a mid engine.
And I didn't see 330s come up on Hammer Price, so I'd have to fudge with the search a little bit.
You know, it's
and
a
only
weird...
the two, only those two from 2015 came up. The one he found at 2014 didn't come up. So maybe Hammer Price wasn't going back that far.
Oh, yeah, that's a good point. But why was the one in? At Gooding from 8 years ago. Why has that one not come up? Well, there's one Ferrari LM. That's an RM auction. Yeah. What that sell for?
Anything by Gooding, so that's why
it's weird.
Confusing.
All right. Well,
yeah,
we tried.
It is tough because the auctions get confusing. Also, Bonhams is at the Quail.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and we always go by there, and that kind of feels like it's at Pebble Beach, but. Not really.
Nah, it doesn't feel that way to me.
Gooding, Quail.
I was at Gooding.
RM or a Bonham.
I was at Gooding at Pebble Beach like looking at one, so I don't know. But, you know, here's the thing. At a certain point, I think I'm going insane, and then at a certain point, we'll find it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay, well, I guess we'll find it.
We'll work it out.
One other thing I wanted to mention, I don't know if you saw this, was there's this group... That it was inevitable. There's this group that's doing a recreation of a Porsche 914,
mm-hmm.
and as much as we love, you know, the the Singer and the Gunther.
Mm-hmm.
And the guys that are going into, I don't know, for lack of a better term, mass-produced mm-hmm. recreations.
Mm-hmm.
There's a company called 1511 Designs. They mm-hmm. are they're the vintage car arm of Mellers Elliott Motorsports, which is a WRC, a World Rally Championship team. And they want to sort of reimagine the 914. They've done a little body work. They eliminated the pop-up lights, went to some LEDs. And the big thing that
they
they're trying
to do— have photos of it?
Yeah, Chris will bring up something. Chris, this is the 914 link that I sent you earlier.
It's a cool— the 914 is a decent platform. It's not a great platform. It's a decent platform to start off of.
So what they did is you know, it's kind of slabby side. So they did sort of a flare thing going on in the back. So they got a little bit of a fender treatment, rear fender treatment. And they, where you normally have the turn signals, they did LEDs and eliminated the pop-up lights.
Yeah.
But the big thing that they're trying to do that is going to be interesting is the engine swap. They want to use the 3.5-liter flat six from the Porsche Cayman.
Mm.
Now, in stock form, that's 325 horsepower and 273 pound-feet of torque. It's before they breathe on it, assuming
right.
they breathe on it. Right?
Yeah. Cool. Good luck to them. I love everyone who's doing this stuff. I don't like the round flares on that car. I like the box flares on that car.
Yeah.
I know they're doing their own thing, but the rounded kind of 512 boxer kind of Ferrari rear flares on it just seem weird to me. Looked a little bit weird to me, but I'd have to see the car in person, so we should go.
Yeah, these are just renderings that they put out there saying they're moving forward with something like this. But it's kind of interesting. I don't know. Is the 914 the best jumping off point? I think one of the issues they're going to run into is where do you get into the price point of this? You know, like, is it going to be a really over the top carbon fiber body? And you know, is this going to end up being $700,000? Because then it is kind of hard to go, and that's Singer money.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. It's going to have to be down quite a bit from Singer money.
And speaking of Singers, Graham Rahal, he has a dealer in a tuner shop, Graham Rahal Performance. He's mm-hmm. got two Singers in stock for sale, pre-owned Singers, and they're both in the 960 or 980
price range.
Yeah.
How old are they?
That's a good question. I don't know, because sometimes they go back to Singer and get freshened up.
Yes.
But he's got specs. It just popped into my head. I'd have to look at the Graham Rahal Performance on his website.
Well, all the Singers are 45 years old, technically. All right,
right.
Max Pata, toss up the plugs, if you would. You can go to adamcarolla.com, and you can find out where I'm doing live shows all over the place. Oklahoma City, Bricktown Comedy Club, coming up February 26th, 27th. We'll do a live podcast, stand up there. Kansas City, Arvest Bank Theater. That'll be March 25th, and then March 26th, Royal Oak, Michigan, Waukegan, Illinois, Genesee Theater. You just go to adamcarolla.com for all that. Matt, what do you got?
Doing some upgrades to the new garage. So follow me at Motorator on social media.
So, till next time, Adam Carolla for Matt the Motorator, DeAndrea saying keep the air in the spare and the bag in the wheel.
For the latest updates and call-in times, follow the show on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at CarCast Show. If you'd like to write in, fill out the form on CarCastShow.com. And don't forget to give us a nice rating on iTunes. CarCast is a Corolla Digital production and is produced by Chris Loxamana. For more information, visit CarCastShow.com.
Hey, Geico, do you own? Do you rent? Well, you do one or the other, right? You know, it's hard work out there. Owning, renting. You want to save some money? How about you bundle? Bundle your policies at Geico. Geico makes it easy to bundle the homeowners or renters insurance along with your auto policy. It's a good thing, too, because you got so much to do already. Go to geico.com, get a quote, see just how much you could save. at Geico. That is geico.com today. That's geico.com.